Hello, everyone. My name is Peng Cheng. All the authors from Tsinghua University. My topic is the rapid process packet loss notifications in data center. I quite like the cooking, so I will work in the kitchen. There's a lot of things need to do. There's maybe the cut slice or the opened bottom. So for each kind of things, we need a specific tools to tackle this problem. But I always don't remember where is it. So I find another thing. It's a multi-function scissors. This can do the all things using the scissor. So I think it's a question like the TCP is in the now data center networks. TCP face a lot of problem. So for each problem, maybe as a many solution to solve it, but we cannot hard to combine it together. So we ask whether we can find one simple TCP complementary mechanism to solve all the problem. Let's look at each problem step by step. The first is TCP incast. It's very famous problem in we ever said, and we think this TCP incast cannot meet all the requirement of the MapReduce. For example, we can get the MapReduce the number of senders in MapReduce is quite large, but in today's solution, the DCTCP and SCTCP cannot meet this such a large number. And they have mentioned in the paper whether reducing the RTO mean can solve this problem. I will tell you not. Why? We do the experiment and we found that there's a lot of we think it's a throughput cliff happened when use the RTO mean to set to the 10 milliseconds. We have a deeper understanding of it. We found that it's centralized package loss increase a lot of the timeout and to lead these things happens. We can find that after the point of the throughput cliff, the throughput decreased dramatically and increased gradually. So we think avoid timeout after a large number of package loads is a key to meet the requirement of the MapReduce. Then we will see the TCP unfairness. In the internet, the multi-bottleneck flows is always suffer the low throughput in the internet. This be presented in the SIGCOM 1990s. It's so old paper. So I think maybe it's the same things happens in the data center networks. Maybe you say it's a different because of the different round trip time, different topologies, and different bandwidth. But what happens to the multi bottleneck flows in data centers? We also get an experiment. We get this. We will explain step by step. The first, in the high package loss ratios, the multi-bottleneck flows suffer the significant low throughput. We can get the result. It's the same as the internet, but in the low packet loss ratios, they will not. This phenomenon happens. We only find the TCP outcast is the present in the NSDI to 2010. It's a unfairly high throughput happens in this scenario. So according to this two paper, we can make sure that the primary cause of TCP outcast and the low throughput is because of TCP timeout. So we think if we avoid TCP timeout, we will tackle the problem of TCP unfairness. Then we consider TCP out of order problem. Why we think this an old problem? Because a lot of redundant redundant links exist in the data center networks now. So multiple routing technicals become very important. Now it's a lot of these technicals is based on the flow-based splitting schedule. Why people don't do ideal the packet level schedule? It's because TCP out of problem. They cannot use the packet level schedule to tackle this problem. Now TCP using a fixed threshold to distinguish between the out of order or the lost. They will cause a lot of problem. It's mentioned in very old papers. I don't want to talk it in this presentation. So I just make the conclusion. Currently distinguish between the lost or out of package can tackle the TCP out of order problem. The last one, I think maybe is a quite hot topic, is about long queuing completion time. Some people said that because of the queuing delay, it's caused a long queuing completion time. And we will do another conclusion. It's about we can see that it's about 12% of the experiment suffer this problem. The picture is about the 20 flows. That's one flow suffers maybe the 15 milliseconds to finish this work. We looked at the detail and found that it suffers many retransmissions and waste time to retransmitting. So we think retransmission delay imposes a significant influence on the queuing completion time. We can easily get that the retransmission delay is composed of the retransmission time and the detection time. And we think the retransmission time is mainly depending on the metro congestion control mechanism. So we think reducing the detection time is a better way to improve the queuing completion time. Depending on the four TCP problems, we can conclude our goals is about three. The first is to avoid TCP timeout. The second is distinguish which packet is out of order or lost currently. The second, we need to reduce the packet loss detection time. So I want to introduce my solution. We call this cutting payload. You can call it CP. There will be the three steps. The first step is we want to use a switch to cut off the payload of the new package if the buffer is overflowed. You can see the packet 6 didn't have the payload, so we just store the header in the storage, and we can prove that we only need a little extra buffers to store this header only. If the input traffic is lower than the output traffic, increased by 13 times. Then when the receiver receives the payload cut packets, which is only contain the header, we will three steps to do it. The first step is to freeze the payload cut packets, and we'll get two things. The first one is the start sequence number. The second is the packet length. Then we can generate the pack option. We use the very similar as the stack option to design the pack option. We just swap the left and the right edge of the block to indicate the lost information. And this can compatible with stack, because if the traditional stack, if the large edge of the block is larger than the right edge of the block, they will they think it's a mistake, and they will explain the next block only. The third step is to send the pack immediately for the reduced detection time. The last, when the sender receives the pack, we will do three steps. It's quite easy. The first is to freeze the pack option and to know which packet is lost. And then we will check the pack status. If the pack is received, we just ignore this information because the receiver has successfully received this, so we do nothing. And if not, we will think this package is lost. We will try to target the fast retransmission and the fast recovery and retransmit the lost package. Depend on our design, we will get some benefits. The first is to avoid the timeout. We use the payload cut packet and the pack to maintain the self-clocking. If we maintain self-clocking, the timeout will not happen. Then we use the pack to get the rapid process packet loss notification. The sender can distinguish the out of order and the lost accurately and reduce packet loss detection time. Implementation. We implement this algorithm in the NetFPG card. It's quite simple, so we only introduce less than 2% increase in the resource usage, and only the two components introduce extra delay. It's about 56 nanoseconds. So I think no matter the extra delay and the resource usage is acceptable in today's switch. Finally, we will show some evaluation of our solution, and we can see the result. Our method can achieve high throughput when the number of senders is large. It can meet the requirement of the MapReduce. Then we evaluate the TCP unfairness. We can see that in the low packet loss ratios, our method CP can avoid the TCP outcast. It's quite similar as the theoretical value. And then we can say in the high packet loss ratios, this can ease the low throughput, but it cannot achieve the same as the theoretical because of if you use different congestion control mechanism, they will achieve different result. So I think the congestion control mechanism is can affect this fairness, but we can ease the this problem happens. Then we will look at the TCP out of order problem. We can see that we have solved this problem, and we can achieve the theoretical value, the same as the theoretical value, is in the right lines. Finally, is the query completion time. We just test in the two traffic patterns. The first is realistic traffic, and the second is 10 times traffic. We just increase the size of the size of the query and the background flows to 10 times. We can get the query completion time at 99th percentile is about decreased by the 40%, and in the 10 times traffic, it's achieved more better. than in the relative traffic, because if the more congestion happens, more packet loss happens, our solution may be much better. So it does say the conclusion. Our method is a TCP contaminant method that can solve many TCP performance issues and is compatible with other TCP protocols in data center networks, such as DC TCP. We have a lot of results about our solution compared with the DC TCP. Then we didn't show this in the presentation. So we also release our source code. It's on the website. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Hi. Really cool observation. So I was wondering if you actually need the pack mechanism. I mean, isn't the cutting of the payload enough for most of what you want? I mean, won't TCP retransmit anyway? So why do you need like another notification mechanism?
PAC, your PAC.
Yeah.
Why do you think you need that?
I think we need more information about the loss package, so we need PAC to transmit the lost information to the sender. If it's lost, we can use the same as SAC. To the SAC can.
But
can
I thought the idea is to avoid lost packets by sending just headers, right? So if the headers do make it, and let's say the receiver processes them, generates the ACKs, then the sender can sort of do fast retransmit, right? So you don't. It looks like you might not need another mechanism for this. But maybe I'm missing something. Probably I'm missing something.
Yeah.
And the other observations, my mental model of switch buffers was they were per packet, right, rather than byte-oriented, so is that the case? Like, because if the switch buffer is per packet, then your scheme won't help much.
I think we only use a little buffers in the switch, and it's in our implementation is only 2 kilobytes. But
you assume that the switch buffer is organized as a sort of a byte array that you know, a packet can use any small number of bytes. And I thought in practice it's basically split up in packets.
No, it can queue. We implement is the buffer is maybe it's 128 kilobytes, and we use a three to store the header, and they will queue in the same queue, right? So we just need a little the buffer to store the header.
Okay, thank you.
Next question.
Hi, Enrique from UCSD. My question is about the fairness of CP and TCP, because you showed some results on related to fairness. And I was wondering what would happen if you had a high bandwidth flow trying to compete through a bottleneck link that uses CP with other small flows that don't use CP. So in my understanding, the big flows that are using CP, they will have a small self-clocking, and then they will consume more bandwidth than the other ones. So that would be really unfair for the flows that are using only TCP. So my question is, are those results, are all the flows using CP, or did you experiment using a combination of flows using CP and flows not using CP, using only TCP? So not flows, big flows using PAC and other flows not using TCP. Do you have like an explanation of, is it fair or it's not fair? How does it work?
Oh, we do the experiment is all the flows is using the CP. We get this result.
Oh,
and
okay.
The bad things is a low throughput is all the flows using the TCP. We just didn't compare the TCP and the CP. We think it's similar because CP only a complementary of the TCP.
But wouldn't reducing the round trip time just for a few flows cause unfairness problems?
Yeah, maybe. I cannot make sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Because the talk ended a few minutes earlier, so we can still take two or three more questions. Yes, please.
So switches, they already have ECN, right? So what's the difference that I didn't get the part where you cut the packet and send it to the receiver versus that the switches do ECN marking and let the receiving side respond to that?
You see the ECM marking, right?
Right.
Sorry, we just saw the implementation of our solution. We show the ECM marking in our paper is also the some components. We just we implemented it, but we didn't mention in our presentation. So you can see my paper and they will do the ECM marking, and we can combine it together.
So, but what's the additional? I didn't get what's additional that work that the switch has to do.
Oh yeah,
in your approach,
just change the switch NetAppDH.
Yeah,
switch.
What part changes? You say the marking the header. So you need to do you generate a new header or you?
Oh, we just cut the packet load and the packet load have the ECM marker. It's a contain this byte, right?
So if I understand correctly,
yeah.
Their proposal actually cuts the payload. In addition to marking just ECN field in the packet header.
But what does this cut the payload give the end host compared just to marking that? I'm just curious.
It doesn't give you much better indication. Well, it gives you the indication that if some packets have to be dropped because of the shortage of buffer, the chance of delivering or being able to deliver that at least the packet header to the end host is increased because you make use of that short buffer more efficiently.
Oh, so basically, I see. Okay. Yeah, then I think there is some question about the previous audience asked a question that on the switch, you allocate the buffer based on the MTU, right? So I don't know how flexible that you can actually just by squeeze more buffer packets into the buffer by just cut the packet to have only the header. So
I don't understand. Sorry. You just say the MTU?
The typically when you configure the switch, the buffer size is depending on the MTU size in the network, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's not. So
basically, this requires a fairly a different buffer allocation scheme so that you can be more flexible.
No. We don't change it. We just use the traditional one.
This is an interesting discussion. So can you take this offline?
Yeah.
Because I also wanted to ask one sort of fundamental question. So your design is very interesting, but it requires data plane change at the ASIC level. It also requires end host stack change because they have to understand pack, right?
Yeah.
Then if you were to do that, how would you compare your kind of solution to another sort of thought out solution, which is just sending the feedback message directly at the switches? Right. If switches have to drop these packets, they can actually send right at that point back to the senders the packet header or maybe the digest of the packet headers themselves directly from there. And that way they don't need to save the packet, even the packet headers at all.
Yeah.
Right? How would you compare that with your architecture?
We discussed this problem in our paper. We just think that if you directly send back package, it's the broken the TCP language, the TCP semantic. And I think if you use this method, it's not a TCP solution. Maybe it's quite like QSAN in the network. We also you can see that. The discuss in the paper, we just think it's not a good solution to tackle this
okay.
problem.
So let's
and it will introduce more the unfairness or something. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Very quick one.
Could you get into a state where all of the packets are just headers and there's no good put?
Oh, you see the good part of the header, right? I show it.
They can actually retransmit faster.
In this, you can see it's about 40 or the when the number of sender is 250 is about 40 megabit per second. That's about it. That's a two ways to send the packet.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, so let's move on to the last paper in this session. And by the way, let's thank again to the speaker. Thank you.